Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at SeventhGeneration.com.
Hello, I'm Monica Reinagle. Welcome to the Nutrition Diva podcast, where we take a closer look at nutrition trends and headlines, explain what the latest research means for you, and answer your dietary questions. Speaking of which, Allie wrote in this week, I was recently telling a friend how much I preferred brown rice over white rice, both for its taste and nutritional value. And she told me that she read somewhere that brown rice is full of carcinogens. And another friend told me he read that brown rice has arsenic in it. Is this true? Is white rice better for you now? Okay, let's all just take a deep breath. Yes, brown rice may contain arsenic. And yes, arsenic is classified as a carcinogen. That does not mean that eating brown rice once or twice a week will give you cancer. So if, like Allie, you much prefer brown rice, there's no need to switch to white rice. On the other hand, if you actually prefer white rice, the nutritional differences may not be as big as you think. Let's start with the whole arsenic thing. In larger amounts, of course, arsenic is a rather notorious poison. In fact, slipping a dose of arsenic into someone's cup of mead or grog was a popular way of offing political rivals back in the day of mead and grog. Now, these days, we're not as worried about an accidental or intentional overdose of arsenic. Rather, we worry about chronic exposure to levels that aren't enough to make you feel sick right away, but over time might cause serious health problems. You might be surprised to learn that almost all fruits and vegetables, meat and fish, contain trace amounts of arsenic, far too little to be of any concern. In fact, I was interested to learn that arsenic is actually an essential trace element. Our body needs these small amounts of arsenic in order to stay healthy and function properly. Up until lately, contaminated well water was the primary concern, and efforts have focused on rigorous testing of water supplies to ensure that arsenic levels don't exceed safe thresholds. But certain plants, including rice, have a particular affinity for arsenic, absorbing it and incorporating it more readily into their cells. So if these crops are grown in soil or irrigated with water that is rich in arsenic, then that can be either because of natural deposits or human activities like farming, tanning, mining, or coal burning, they may contain significant amounts of arsenic, which may be further concentrated through processing. Although some rice and rice-based foods have been found to be high in arsenic, we don't know that much about how arsenic in foods might affect people over time and what safe thresholds might be. Simply evaluating foods by the standards that were set for drinking water could either over or underestimate the dangers. And here's why. The safe threshold for arsenic in drinking water is 10 parts per billion. But that's calculated based on how much water you're likely to drink day in and day out. So it wouldn't make sense to apply the same threshold to a food that you might eat only once or twice a week or even less frequently. On the other hand, the safe threshold for water assumes that drinking water is the only significant source of arsenic exposure. If we are exposed to arsenic from a number of different sources, then we need to take our likely exposure from all of those sources into account when establishing safe thresholds for each individual source. Scientists are scrambling to get a handle on all of these issues so that they can put new guidelines or regulations into place. The state of California, whose environmental safety standards are usually extremely conservative, considers a daily intake of up to 10 micrograms per day to pose little risk over an entire lifetime of exposure. The EPA's recommendation is a bit higher. Either way, however, a daily serving of most rice products would not exceed those limits. So I don't think you need to eliminate brown rice from your diet, but I do have a few tips that will help you minimize your risk and hopefully your worry about excessive arsenic exposure. Number one, rinsing rice thoroughly before you cook it can reduce arsenic levels by up to a third. I like to put the rice in a large bowl, fill it up with water, and swish it around vigorously, and the water usually gets cloudy. This is mostly starch that's being released from the grain into the water, but that can also improve the texture of the cooked rice. After agitating it for 30 to 60 seconds, drain the rice in a sieve and rinse it with more clear running water. Tip number two, cooking rice more like pasta can reduce levels by another third, assuming, of course, that the water you're using to cook it in isn't high in arsenic. So instead of adding just enough water that all of it is absorbed during the cooking process, the way most of us were taught to make rice, you can boil the rice in a larger pot of water until it's tender and then drain it the way you would with pasta. Tip number three, the biggest concerns about arsenic in rice apply to cultures that eat rice with every meal. So if rice is a really big part of your diet, you might want to consider mixing it up a bit. Arsenic tends to concentrate in the outer hull or the bran of the grain, which is polished away to make white rice. For that reason, white rice has significantly less arsenic than brown rice. But if you want to stick with whole grains, consider just rotating in some alternatives, such as amaranth, teff, farro, or quinoa. Likewise, if you avoid dairy products, try not to rely exclusively on rice alternatives for those. Try hemp, almond, soy, oat, or coconut milk. Tip number four is to watch out for brown rice syrup. It takes a lot of brown rice to make just a little bit of brown rice syrup. And as a result, while the amount of arsenic in a serving of brown rice isn't a big deal, the amount in a tablespoon of brown rice syrup may be enough to cause concern. Ironically, brown rice is used in a lot of processed products that are aimed at the health-conscious consumer. Everything from non-dairy milk, yogurt, and cheese, to wheat-free bread, pasta, and cereal, to energy bars and drinks. So if you eat a lot of those, just take a look at the ingredient list, just to make sure that you're not eating 12 different things a day that all have rice as the main ingredient. And in particular, keep an eye on how much brown rice syrup you're consuming. And tip number five, I think the place that we need to exercise the most caution is with what we're feeding our kids. Children tend to be more sensitive to chemical exposure because they're still developing and also because they have much smaller bodies. And in addition, they often have less varied diets than adults. So any given food may represent a fairly large proportion of their diet. Perhaps the most alarming recent finding was high levels of arsenic in baby formulas sweetened with organic brown rice syrup. And babies usually consume formula as their primary or only food. So in 2020, the FDA issued a guidance stating that the level of arsenic in infant rice cereal should not exceed 100 parts per billion in order to protect this vulnerable population. And according to FDA testing, the majority of infant rice cereal currently on the market either meets or is close to those limits. Obviously, this is a story that's still unfolding. And for those who want to learn more and stay up to date as more information comes to light, there are great resources available through Dartmouth University, and I'll include a link to those in the show notes. If you want to see real change, you need to be consistent, and hair care is no exception. Vegamore makes sticking to your hair care routine easy so that you can actually see the results you've always wanted. With a monthly subscription of their Grow Hair Serum, you'll never run low on the products that you need, plus it saves you money. For best results, you want to use this for at least 3 months to see visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. I'm only on month two, but the routine is super simple, and I like the way my hair is looking. I also appreciate that Vegamore products are free of harsh chemicals and are also 100% cruelty-free. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. And for a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/diva and then use the code DIVA at checkout. That's VEGAMOUR.com/DIVA and the code DIVA to save 20% on your first order.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at SeventhGeneration.com.
So much for the toxicity concerns relating to brown rice, but now let's get a reality check on the nutritional attributes. Whole grains, like brown rice, are generally higher in fiber and certain other nutrients than their refined counterparts. But the nutritional differences between brown rice and white rice are not as dramatic as many people think. Both have about the same number of calories, around 200 calories for one cup of cooked rice. Both brown and white rice are decent sources of thiamine and niacin. White rice is often enriched with iron and folate, although brown rice rarely is. Brown rice, on the other hand, has more magnesium and selenium. Perhaps the biggest difference is that brown rice has more fiber, with 4 grams per cup versus just 1 gram for white rice. That said, neither white nor brown rice is a super nutrient-dense food, and nutrient density refers to how much nutritional value is provided per calorie. And although the added fiber means that the starches in brown rice are more slowly converted to blood sugar, both white and brown rice have a moderate glycemic impact. In terms of the effect on your blood sugar, the portion size plays a far bigger role than whether you choose white or brown rice. But here's another comparison that might surprise you. A medium baked potato with the skin has just as much fiber, more vitamin C, B6, folate, and iron as a cup of brown rice. It also has fewer calories and carbohydrates and a significantly lower glycemic impact. Make it a sweet potato, and now you're really talking superfood, loaded with vitamin A and C, plus fiber, minerals, and just half the calories and carbohydrates of brown rice. I'm not saying you should stop eating rice. It's awfully hard to make a sushi roll with a baked potato. But with starchy foods like pasta, potatoes, and grains, even whole grains, it's important to watch those portion sizes and leave plenty of room on the plate for other nutritious foods, like colorful vegetables. And one final concern from a listener who writes, "For years, I've diligently chosen brown rice over white, believing it to be better because of its high fiber and nutrient content. But lately, I've been hearing a lot about the anti-nutrient qualities of brown rice, something about the phytic acid in it interfering with nutrient uptake. What's your take?" It is true that brown rice contains phytic acid, which can interfere with the absorption of certain minerals. As I talked about in my episode on phytic acid in grains, this is really unlikely to lead to nutrient deficiencies unless you're eating very large amounts of brown rice at every meal. And given the concerns with arsenic, that's probably not a great idea anyway. Furthermore, and probably more importantly, cooking deactivates much of the phytic acid. So my take is that this really is not something that you need to worry about. This is Monica Reinagle, the Nutrition Diva. If you have a nutrition question you'd like me to answer, you can email me at nutrition@quickanddirtytips.com. You can also leave me a voicemail at 443-961-6206. And if your question is more on the subject of habits and behavior change, please check out my other podcast, The Change Academy, where we talk about how to convert our good intentions into sustainable, healthy habits. You'll find that wherever you listen. Nutrition Diva is a Quick and Dirty Tips podcast supported by a fantastic team, which includes our director of podcasts, Adam Cecil, audio engineer, Nathan Sems, Davina Tomlin, who runs our marketing and publicity, Holly Hutchings, who is our digital operations specialist, and Morgan Christensen, our podcast operations and advertising specialist. Thanks so much for listening.
Human nature can get a little messy, but nature is powerful enough to save us from ourselves. Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent lifts away tough stains with a 97% bio-based formula. For when you think whipping up yellow curry chicken in white pants is a great idea, totally not speaking from experience. Let nature do its thing, so you can feel confident doing yours. That's the power of Seventh Generation. Find Seventh Generation Laundry Detergent in fresh lavender and other scents at 7thgeneration.com.